It was, we have only so long to do this, or it was going to get really, really dangerous, more dangerous than it was already.
Welcome to the PreparedX podcast, your complete source for crisis, emergency, business continuity, and security preparedness interviews, news, and much more. Now, your host, he creates chaos for a living, Rob Burton.
Well, that was a short outtake of my interview with Laura Lee Thurman, known as Elle, in the security industry, and that's episode 61. Laura Lee is a security expert, both executive protection and corporate protection. She works out of Los Angeles, where she runs a number of businesses, which she explains in this podcast interview. Anyway, over to the interview with Laura Lee Thurman and episode 61. Well, good afternoon, and I think it's probably still morning there in Los Angeles. How are you doing today, Laura Lee?
I'm doing great, Rob. Thank you for having me. It's a beautiful day here in Los Angeles.
No problem. Well, I think we met probably over 10 years ago now, so I know we've met on a couple of different occasions, so not met for many years, though, so glad that we're back in touch again.
Absolutely. I feel the same. I mean, it was so wonderful to touch base and meet you several years ago, many moons ago.
Yeah.
But it's so wonderful that this industry, as small as it is, can reconnect us, and so it's great.
Well, that's great. And we'd love to have, all walks of life in the realm of crisis management and preparedness, and, your specialty being security, obviously was, my trade for a long time, many, many years ago. Obviously it's close to my heart. So I'm glad that we could get you on and share your experience and knowledge of the space as you're, in the thick of it, so to speak.
Yes, lots of has transpired since we last met,
I'm sure.
And I'm very, very happy to be on your show. So thank you for having me once again. It's a great honor. When we met, I don't even think I was in the industry officially,
right.
As you recall. It's been that long, 10 plus years. But just a little bit about me. People in the industry call me Elle. It's just easier. A lot of people can't pronounce my name. They can't spell my name. So I just say, just call me Elle. So everyone knows me as Elle Thurman. A little bit about me. I got into the industry around 2006, give or take. And it was actually a very funny story. It wasn't something I planned. I came from a background of law, business, something in that realm, because I went to Boston University, and of course I had this idea of like, oh, I think one day I'll go into law and go into politics. So I studied international relations with international business and economics and a minor in business administration. Talk about like overachiever, and I've always been that way. So I did that for a few years, and then did a special program at Georgetown University for government and public policy. And then from there was a natural transition into, hey, you know what, maybe law school is in my future. But before then, I decided to go work for a law firm. And then I kind of got stuck doing that because I loved it so much at the time. So I was, a paralegal, and I worked in Nevada as well as California. Well, somewhere down that line, I met a wonderful little gentleman at the time, and you know him well. His name is Jason Cripps. He's also British. And I think it was in Tupera. And he was a solo EP agent. And we actually were introduced through a mutual friend because I was actually the client. So I needed to go overseas to take care of some family matters in an area that wasn't so, I would say, safe at the time. So mm-hmm. He was going to be my EP agent. Well, the detail didn't go through. We just decided to take another route. But he was insistent on keeping up with me and seeing me and meeting with me. And I'm like, what are we meeting about? So nevertheless, the detail didn't happen, but we happened. So nevertheless, we moved to LA. He continued his work in EP. I worked at a law firm. And he proposed to me. So he popped the magical question. I said yes. And I decided next up, got to plan a wedding. So I went to celebrity wedding planner Mindy Weiss, of course. So
as you do, right? Of course.
Natural, of course.
Natural, it's totally the natural next step. I get it.
Absolutely.
It's
go
LA,
down the
baby.
List of celebrity wedding planners. course, because it's going to be a grand thing. I'm only trying to do this one time. So let's go all out. So I went to her and she interviewed both of us, and her attention diverted to him because she was very interested in the fact that he was in security. And she asked him, because he's from, you know, England, oh, do you know of anybody in France? And the reason being is because the wedding of the year that was coming up in 2007 was for Mindy Weiss and Tony Parker's wedding. And she needed assets over there. And the one that she had at the time didn't have that resource. Nevertheless, Jason took it, and he was going to give it to another company and, you know, take the cut, that whole thing, and just be the PSO. Well, that person didn't really have the resource that they claimed they did. As you know, many times this happens in the industry. So I asked him, I said, you know what, you always wanted to open a company, so why don't you? And he said, that's crazy. You know, I don't know if we could do that. And I said, of course we can. So, you know, behind his back, I started studying the industry for 6 months. And then lo and behold, we opened the company. We already had a client. It made sense. He can get all his friends. And, you know, he does all the operations on the ground. And I just wrap it up in a nice bow and I make it look pretty. So that's basically how I got started into the industry. Well, you know, that year we did really well. A lot of referral services. I took the bonus check I got from the law firm as my initial investment, and I gave him half the company. He didn't even know he had a company. I just gave it to him. I said, here. He thought it was crazy. He literally thought it was insane. And I said, well, you know, there's got to be bold, you know, or things are never going to change. And I think that's a moment of boldness, you know. So from there, we did the detail. It was phenomenal, and we had a lot of referrals afterwards, and we made such a wonderful return in our first 6 months of business. Sure. In 2010, you know, I think this happens with many people in the industry, especially when they're married or they have that significant other or partner. It can take a toll, you know.
Yep.
So he had his own situations that he had to deal with, and nevertheless, we decided to end our engagement. So in 2010, it ended. But I took the company and I just went from there. And from there, I was solo. I was on my own and, you know, had to restructure it. And at that point, you know, I just knew this is what I wanted to do, because the vision I had based on where the industry was at the time was fairly different, to be honest with you.
Sure. Well, that's really answered my first question, which is, you know, how did you get into the space? So it's a great background for all our listeners. So I appreciate your candidness and going into some of the details there, because I know some of it's personal. So, but appreciate that. So, but let's talk about, you know, being a female in what, you know, certainly when I was in the space of going overseas to the Middle East and other parts of the world was, you know, pretty much a male-centric environment. How has it been for you as a female in the industry? Have you found it difficult to be accepted, or has, you know, because I know you're a powerful character in terms of, you know, your leadership and your organization, but have you found it difficult in other ways to be accepted?
Well, I think it was more so when I first started, and more importantly, when I spawned off on my own. At the time, and I think it's still very much a male-centric industry. Mm-hmm. It's just not as bad as it used to be. So if we take the time clock and go back to, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago, and I think a lot of the females in the industry can resonate with this, it's very hard to break in. I think for anyone in this industry, it's hard to break in, and let alone succeed in it. And I think the challenge is more so when you're a female, and it's all about perspective. So when I came in, I think people's perception was, well, who is this Hollywood socialite wannabe and who has no background in law, you know, law enforcement or, you know, military, you know, she's only 5'3", 122 pounds. Like, who, she was wearing heels, for God's sakes. Like, what is she doing in this?
Yeah.
So the credibility at the time wasn't there in other people's eyes, other colleagues' eyes. And, you know, I think the way it is back then more so was this, well, it's a male industry. It's just us. It's a good old boys club, right? It's still to some degree like that. They didn't understand how to utilize the women that have the knowledge or the talents in the right way. So meaning women, I feel, are very organized. They're very detail orientated. Mm-hmm. You know, they know how to do logistical support. And you find that in the military and law enforcement as well.
Sure.
I think one of the adage of, you know, looking and dealing with the detail is how to utilize a female on the ground, like, especially when you're doing covert operations or, you know, low profile, you know, that they become very, very valuable, especially for intel gathering. Now, my role was always very different. I came in on the top, I feel, because I came in with a company. And my strength has always been just running the company, getting the talent, and managing it for the right details. So in a way, it's kind of like talent management, right?
Yep.
So I think there was a lot of criticism in the beginning because people didn't understand what I was. And then more importantly, they didn't understand who I was. And it took several years of watching, understanding, and realizing, you know, what I'm actually doing for people to go, oh, okay, I get it now. Now, from the perspective of clients, I didn't really have an issue. In fact, I feel I had the advantage because not everyone wants to meet Rambo, Rob. So, you know, they don't understand all the acronyms. They don't understand what a PSO is or this. I mean, when you're talking to a client, they're really just looking at, this is my problem, can you fix it? And they want a friendly face that knows how to convey that.
Sure.
So for me, I felt like an ambassador or a liaison. But I think the most important thing I kept in mind with my role in the industry was two things. Never give up, never quit, despite all the challenges and adversities, because it's my path. Number two was to stay authentic.
Yep.
So I didn't try to fit in. I didn't try to do that whole tactical look with
right.
the camo and the whatever gun. You know, that seems to be redundant. And to me, that wasn't really me. So I think part of the vision that I had was be different, be myself, and, you know, market it in a way that is different than the industry. Because in any business, because at the end of the day, this is a business like any other business. How are you marketing and selling yourself to attract the clients?
Sure.
So, you know, for me, it was designing the company and going in a way that's a little bit more lavish. It's very Hollywood-ish. You know, it's you know, elegant in a way, I guess you could say. These are the words that I had in my head. Not that everyone looks at that way, but, you know, for me, it was doing that. And I think as I'm successfully achieving all of my goals and running the details, because the key was understanding the business. And I studied it and I've been around it and I was trained very well with privately through, you know, Jason and other colleagues. And then later on, I did many years later, went to ISA with training center is run by Matt Parker. I also went to Select International with Eric Parker. You know, obviously I have a thing for the Parkers. So, you know, I kept it in that line. But, you know, and that's just to better educate myself on what really goes on in the ground.
Sure.
But my strength was more of like logistics. And once people realized what my lane was, it was more acceptable.
Yep.
You know, people try to hide in this industry. They're always like trying to put, this is my code name or this. I don't know what delusions they have in their head of like what they've done. Some people are legitimate because if they work in government sectors, I get it.
Yep.
But from my perspective, I said, here's an open book. I'm an open book. So this is how I do things. This is how I run things. And it's more of the business end and getting work for all the guys and the veterans, especially because at the time, remember, they were all running to the Middle East. They were, you know, doing that. And I'm thinking, well, you're leaving everything here at, you know, CONUS World in the U.S. kind of open.
Yep.
And, you know, what are these guys going to do when they get back?
Sure. Well, you know, that's, you know, fantastic. And I, you know, one thing I pull out of your comments there was, you know, remaining true to who you are. And I think, you know, a lot of people get involved in different areas of this sector, you know, be it security, be it on our side of the fence, on the crisis management side, business continuity, emergency management. And, you know, they'll try and fit into a box, so to speak. And, you know, just, you know, remain true to who you are and your values. And, you know, you'll get far in life. I tell my kids the same thing. So I appreciate that. So I want to talk some about
Absolutely.
some of the challenges, that you've faced in some of these projects. You know, I often hear you talk on your, you know, social media channels about, you know, number of projects. You seem to have many balls in the air that you're juggling at the same time, which again goes back to the organization, you know, and all those traits of being well organized. And that seems to work well for you. You know, obviously don't mention any names or any places if you don't have to, but you know, what are some of the more challenging projects that you've worked on and why?
Well, the business in itself is challenging. I mean, we could take it to an aggregate minute level of, you know, getting guys, you book out like 10 guys, and then there's always that no call, no show guy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, T minus 30, and you're trying to grab like the right guy. For me, I've always wanted to stay true to my plan, which was always understanding and knowing the agents. Of, you know, both female and male, and matching them correctly based on availability, based on budget, you know, the client, and matching personalities. Because I think to me, it's about mindset and attitude and thinking process. That bothers me more than anything. And that's always my main concern, because sure. What looks good on a resume, you know, it can look pristine, Rob.
Yep.
But when they're on the ground, what decision making processes are they, you know, doing? So what are they executing? Like, are they getting drunk because they think that, you know, I'm off the clock, but I'm like, but you're not off duty. Do you understand? When you're having a royal family and understanding their culture and, you know, they're not too keen on alcohol, probably not a good idea to, you know, drink alcohol. And so that's why one of my policies is, you know, when you're on duty, you know, there's no alcohol usage, you know, because, you know, you're going to have to react at some point if something happens. What if you have to drive the car? So some of those things, those are the minor challenges. Now, through the years, I've had like a lot of details, both small and big, from weddings to like corporate events to EP, you name it, nightlife. I've done it all. And we could keep going on and on about it. But there was two details that stuck in my head that I felt was a challenge, and it wasn't so much the actual detail as so much the unknowns, what the client tells you and what the client doesn't tell you. Those, I call those onion blooms. Like what they say is one thing, and you have to vet your clients just as much. But then when you go into the investigation or into the detail, you realize, oh, there's a whole other can of worms involved. And then you have to now strategize and implement those. So, you know, for me, one of them was overseas in South America. Ironically, Jason was on it, and a couple of our friends, as you know. And that one was a very hot and heavy detail having to do with KNR. And for those that don't understand, that is, you know, kidnap and ransom. And, you know, it ended up being one thing. And then we realized that our intel came back and it involved a whole other gamut. And so that's when the heart starts to palpitate, because you realize this is real life. This is where, you know, body bags may come back. And so then you think about your liabilities. Then you think of like the safety of the guys, the safety of the client, you know, the asset that you have to retrieve. And it's thinking quick, because it's not so cut and dry like an EP detail, like, oh, we're going to start at 10 a.m. and this is where we're going to be at 12. And then you're just swivel heading to make sure there's no other threats. But, you know, when you realize that you're in that situation, it's seriously something like out of a movie, because you have to think fast and you have to think hard and, you know, have several plans of action.
Sure.
I think that's one of the challenging things I had to deal with, because it brought my emotion into it, because we were dealing with a child. But more importantly, I was all day in California doing the logistics. All of my men are down there and I just want them to come back safely.
Sure.
So it was very important that I get the information to them. I just remember that was probably one of the last times I pulled, like, I think 48 hours I didn't sleep, because I was trying to get the plane tickets and change them so that they can come back early. We needed to leave the area we were at and relocate. And, you know, that was very challenging because it was time constraint. It was, we have only so long to do this, or it was going to get really, really dangerous, more dangerous than it was already. So that to me stuck in my head. I mean, the great thing about that story was that we did find what we were looking for. So it makes it all worth it when you look back of, did we achieve our goal? Absolutely. But it wasn't without blood, literally blood, sweat, and tears. The tears came rolling down my eyes because I'm like, oh my God, I just want them to come home. I just want everyone to be safe.
Right.
This is getting crazy. I feel like it's a man on fire. Like, what is this situation? And you have to be so level-headed and you have to keep your emotions absolutely in check. I think that's the most important thing. And that's why I love working with Brits, because they have a very great way of thinking, and they have absolute control of their emotions for the most part, so that when the situation gets hot, they become hyper-focused. And that's what I enjoy. And I'm not saying no one else does it, but I find it easier to work with them because they have that mentality.
Well, maybe under the skin, we may look good on the outside. It may be just a facade. I don't know. But I've been in some of those situations as well, being overseas. And I guess having the perspective of having traveled so much, I can see what you're saying there. But I want to know a little bit more. And I know, you know, again, you run the business side. You know, the guys go out into the space, but you've learned the business, and you've learned it, you know, based on that story and others that you have, you know, the hard way. But also, you know, that's obviously good as well in terms of you understanding really, you know, the differences of the executive protection as it relates to, you know, the corporate environment. Is there any difference between that and then, you know, going to the Oscars with, you know, a celebrity, an A-list celebrity? You know, what are the nuances between those two types of executive protection versus entertainment?
Well, I think the main difference is not so much the operational side, because
okay.
if you do your threat assessment correctly, you know who your asset is, and you know your principal, and you put your team together. It's pretty, you know, cut and dry as far as the foundation of the operations, unless, you know, there's outside factors. It's the clients, and obviously they're very different. There's a lot more hand-holding with entertainment. You have to be so fluid and agile. With corporate clients, you know, they tend to be more structured. They have schedules, they have itineraries. It's just like diplomats, you know, like, oh, we're leaving at, you know, 0800. Okay, you're there like 15, 30 minutes ahead, and you know they're going to leave right on the dot. You know where you're going next. It's easy to do advance work or recce's. You know, it's very structured, with the exception of maybe a stop here and there. For the most part, you could predict your day. With celebrities in particular, or Hollywood situations, you have an idea. So you have a little bit of an idea, a suggestion of the day, and that can change at any time. And sometimes that's also with royal families. You know, they have a little bit more structure than I feel with celebrities. You know, with the celebrities, if they have engagements, like red carpet is at 8 p.m., then okay, then you know they're going to be there. They might be running a little late, so they decided they want to run late. So it's a lot more hand-holding. They live in a bubble, so everything is geared around them, and we have to adjust according to them. And I feel that corporate clients are more understanding of our function than celebrities. For celebrities, I think their perception is, you know, they're the help. They're the ones that's going to carry the bag, or they're going to open the door and they get me from point A to point B. But if I want to stop by and get Starbucks, I need to stop there. And, oh, I want to go over here to this guy's house because my best friend's a producer. And that was nowhere in the itinerary. And you had no time to do the advance and check on these people. So it can be a little bit irritating, I feel, for the agents. And then there's like, okay, change of plans. You know, when we're dealing with events in Hollywood, it's a little different. You're not dealing directly with, you know, the clients per se, if you're doing the event, right? Because it's the event. So it's a different client. It's not a particular celebrity. So that one requires heavy logistics, heavy coordination. And that tends to be on schedule for the most part. But then, of course, leave room for last minute oopses and like, oh, we need another guy here, or, you know, we need to put this barricade on thought of this. So a lot of site assessments needed to be taken into consideration. But going back to your question, I feel it's the dynamics between the two. I feel with corporate clients, it tends to be a little bit easier. Celebrity clients, you never know. And they need a lot of hand-holding for the most part. Some are very easy. Some get it because they've dealt with this for a long time, so they comply accordingly and they understand where you're coming from. But, you know, the good amount of people that I've dealt with, at least clients, you know, they're very all over the place. Unless they're filming, then you know, oh, I'm taking you here and you're going to be there for a while. you know, so there's no like set time on and off. It's whenever they feel like it. At least that's my experience.
Good. Well, yeah, we appreciate that. I've always wondered as well, because I've typically, you know, again, back in the day, it was a lot of overseas stuff for government clients in the Middle East specifically. Was obviously a different environment to, you know, the entertainment business in Los Angeles. And even though I spent some time in Los Angeles, I really wasn't in that side of the business. I was in a different part of the business back then. So I appreciate you, you going through that. Hey, I want to touch quickly. I follow you on various different social media channels, and I know, you know, you're kind of, you know, running fast, and you know, your business is kind of seems to be a lot of late bookings, and you know, organizing people at the last minute, and you know, putting out fires for clients, right? And I hope you get paid well for that. you do a great job there as well. Is this so? In terms of your social media and building the business. Is that part of a strategy, or do you do it on a more ad hoc basis in terms of, you know, the social media side? Is it something you do personally, or is it more of a, you know, more, is there more business thought behind it?
You know, it really wasn't strategic. Again, this goes back to being authentic and maybe somewhat impulsive. You know, I want to have people just kind of get to know me as a person rather than a bunch of self-promotions or what I think people need to see of me. So you'll see various things because, you know, I have a wide variety of audience. So it's not just, you know, security related professionals on my page. And, you know, I have family. I have, you know, the business world. I have the real estate world. I have the legal world. I mean, it's like almost a culmination of my whole entire life is on Facebook, you know, all the way from childhood till now. So I like to keep it interesting. I always post just like one, maybe two things a day. And it's more of like what's really going through my head. You know, it might be something exciting I wanted to announce. It could be educational. I mean, the only real structure is, you know, on Mondays, I like to put something motivational and positive for to start out the week. So anything that relates to a person that feels they get something out of it, well, fantastic. I hope you did. I might put a news article. You know, and then I'll put something random and funny about like maybe a conversation I had with my mom or like, you know, the dog.
They're my favorite, by the way.
I mean, people love it because, you know, it's what's her life like? She's always running around. And so I want to give pieces of my life. I'm not very covert about it. I'm not very like, oh, you know, I'm afraid for people to know, because honestly, I really don't care what people think.
This is just
me being me. So, you know, if I could make someone laugh that day, it wasn't like something that I purposely, like, I'm going to purposely make people laugh that day. Sure. It's more of, oh my God, this was hysterical. I want to share it with all my friends. So, you know, it might, you know, I've gotten really crazy about that sometimes. It might be like, hey, I'm enjoying a great brunch here, you know, for people that love food, things that I like. People know I'm into fashion. So I'm always stressing about like, oh, look what I got, you know, well, look what I'm wearing today. And, you know, for people that are into that, or maybe it might give, you know, some inspiration to some people of, you know what, hey, maybe I need to dress to impress every single day, because you never know who you're going to meet.
Right.
So being prepared, wearing a suit, you know, dressing smart, you know, for me, I'll just put my thoughts out there. I might add some educational things, something, it's more to help people. I feel in sending a message, not so much to prove something or self-promote.
Yep.
It's just there. It's just me being me. So my personality is absolutely shown on Facebook. I don't hide it. You know, you'll see me in tears. There's been pictures of me crying, you know, me waking up in the morning, like literally waking up with the hair standing up. And, you know, it's just something that I thought was funny, and then I'll share it. And so people understand that this is a person.
Right.
It's not just what we think, or, you know, that she's, oh, look at her with her, you know, oh, she's at the range, or, you know, like, you know, some people put things, there's an American flag, there's guns, there's, you know, like, look at me, I'm really in security because there's everything related to it. It can get boring for the viewer. It can, because it's like, okay, too much of that. And they all begin to look the same. Everyone, like, you can just copy across and it's just a different message or the same meme.
Sure.
For me, it's variety And it's like watching a show. Like, 1 minute I could be dressed really nice. I could be on a boss mode and be closing a deal. Next minute I'm like in tears on the ground, or I'm looking at like my mother running around, like wearing whatever, you know, thing in her head that she took from my room, the dog. And it's just life, because at the end of the day, we're people.
Yes.
Right.
Well, that's,
you know, we all have problems and everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why I asked the question, you know, and I've started to do more videos for our business. I've been doing them for a little while, and, you know, I try to do them from different places where I travel to, and, you know, just, you know, sharing, you know, both business, but, you know, also, you know, things that happen, you know, in our daily lives. I think people want to know people. I mean, you know, we certainly don't get clients, and I'm sure you're the same. Just, I mean, we occasionally get them where they pick up the phone and say, you know, I've heard you're the right people to talk to. And that happens, you know, not very often for us. And it's more about the relationship. And the more they know you, the more likely, and they see, you know, the type of individual you are, the more likely that they're going to want to work with you, not just once, but on an ongoing basis. So, you know, that's why I put that question in there, because, again, I appreciate, you know, your posts, and I don't read everybody's posts all the time, but, you know, yours is certainly up there on the ones that I do read. And again, you know, it's just to get a smile, right? You know, so much serious stuff going on in our worlds, in our business worlds, that it's nice to, you know that there's actually humans behind it who have everyday life. So, and that's the world that we live in with social media in this day and age. So, again, I appreciate what you do on that front.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I agree with you. You know, it's to keep things human. I like to keep things interesting. You know, I didn't anticipate that I would have the following that I have. It just went viral. And so, you know, everyone in the industry tells me, like, oh my God, your social media is like crazy, you know. And believe it or not, it's private. So it's
right.
On private mode. Like,
right.
You have to really look for me. And but it's really just to give a taste and keep it human, like you said.
Yeah.
Again, we all have problems. We all have victories. You know, we all have feelings. And that's how you keep the relation with people, because they can relate. And you know, they'll say like, oh, I went through that too. And so that's what I love about it.
Great, great, great. Also, okay, as we start to wrap up here, this has, again, been, you know, a great conversation. But let's let the audience know a little bit more about, I noticed, you know, the emails we had going backwards and forwards, and I know your business has had a few different names over the last few years, but the one I'm pulling out of your email, Steel Rain Risk Management, is that accurate? Does that wrap up? I know you have a number of names that you're affiliated with, but what are they? What is it? So tell us a little bit more.
Well, you know, just to make it clear, when I restructured the companies, I developed an established a parent company, and underneath it, I opened up other companies, each one specializing in a different arena, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, was that from
a
risk? Was that from a risk or an insurance standpoint, or, you know, was there any specific reason? Was it just to separate them, just from a service perspective? Why was that?
It's a little bit of both, because
okay.
When I first had the company that I opened, the initial one, you know, everything was underneath it. It's like a department store with like 11 departments. And, you know, from a marketing point of view, it's like saying, how good would, you know, Toyota be if it was just everything under the sun, Scion and all that under Toyota? You know, you're not going to get where the exclusive high end is, like Lexus. So I needed to develop something where all the services got divided according to, you know, what they do. So, you know, if you do executive protection, it's a little bit higher up than, let's say, guard services or lower end events. You know, red carpet's different. But then if you're doing something overseas, it's very specialized. You can't lump that into guard services. It just won't work. So, you know, first and foremost, it was a marketing point of view. Secondly, it was, you know, more for a liability, because, you know, when you're setting up in corporate structures, you have two things to think about: tax liability or, you know, risk liability, and they're both risky, you know, but you have to pick the lesser of two evils. Being in the industry that we're in, you know, seeing that things can happen, because we're a walking, talking insurance company, right? You know, guns can go off, people can get hurt, you know, things, you know, tax isn't so much the major issue. It's the, you know, on the ground operation and liability on that standpoint. So developing and structuring you know, corporate entities with layers seem like a better, you know, strategy. So there was twofold to that. And marketing is a big one. Now, in that way, you know, and we can get technical, that if one goes down, you can annex it and it's not going to affect the rest of your business, you know? So that's one of the thought processes. Now, going back to Steel Rain, which is one of the four that I have, I opened that on a whim, you know, about a few years ago. Now, I bought the company from another colleague who just had no use for it. I bought it without even the thought process of what I'm going to do with it. I just was owning it. And I said, okay, you can sit in a box in a corner. Until I got the idea that when I went to the first executive protection conference about 3 years ago in Las Vegas, and Christian West, you know, of AS Solutions, brought up a good idea. Because one of the last questions he posed when he was interviewing everyone in the crowd was, you know, there's a lot of salt and pepper in the crowd. He goes, where's our future? And that resonated with me. I even wrote it down. And I said, yeah, where is our future? If we're talking about wanting to change the industry, move that needle, improve it, because our competition isn't just us, it's other industries. Okay, so we have to think outside of the box. How can we change and improve? And it's all going to come down to training, but more importantly, in my eyes, mentorship and recruiting. So it comes down to sales and recruit. So, you know, a lot of guys that come in this industry, they're like in law enforcement, military, and they want to go private sector. They're in their 30s, right? Because after they do their first career, they're just going to come in. But more importantly, what happens to the guys that are like 18 to 30, you know, when they're trying to break in? Again, I'm going to go back to it's very hard to break in. Another thing, it's very hard to succeed. And who is teaching them and showing them the way? And are they being shown the right way? Because this is how we get bad habits in the industry, because they don't have anyone to follow or teach them. Right? They might take a class, pay $1,000, but that doesn't change the mindset. Sure. So when I opened Steel Rain, it was primarily for the young protectors of this industry, the up and coming. So, you know, 18 years old, I just got my guard card. What do I do next? How do I get experience? And, you know, it follows through more like an institute. So how I sold it to the clients is as follows. You know, if they say, you know, hey, and we all ran into this client, like has champagne dreams and beer budget. you know, we all met that client. And so let me put it in a, you know, metaphor that people can relate to. Like a lot of people want to own an, you know, Mercedes-Benz AMG, but they can't afford it, but they want that quality. So what's the next best step? Well, how about the C-Class, the entry level? It's still a Benz, but it's not like right. the high-end one. So that's how I looked at it visually was, I can oversee the operations. I am working with the guys, training them and sending them to, you know, having them recommending for them to go to school and more like encouraging them to read books almost as a requirement yeah. and meeting with them and mentoring them right. and then showing them on the ground. So when I have a client that has that beer budget champagne taste, and that was more so in nightlife, I was like, okay, great. I can give you that and meet your budget. But what you're getting is a bunch of young guys, sure. you know, that need that experience. So first, it's them being able to get that first line of credit of work experience. While they're doing that, it's work and train and get paid. So, you know, while they're working and earning their money, they're being kind of looked at and mentored along the way and to think outside of the box. And I found that, you know, nightlife was the best boot camp, quote unquote, for them. Because everything they need to know in security will be in that one little area. And why a lot of people started in nightlife in this industry. I mean, you know, Christian West is one of them. And what they do is they have to learn how to work in teams. They have to deal with no call, no show. Sure. They can get promoted from like a scribe to an assistant supervisor to supervisor. They have to work with the client. They will get into fights. So how do you work with that? How's your verbal judo that day? You know, so it's working with crowds. You might deal with, you know, a patron that's passed out on the floor. Now you have a medical issue. Right. So everything you need to learn is there. And I felt it was a great training ground and more so for them to get the experience, get paid at the same time, you know, get everything going and learning at the same time so that they're now have a foundation. So when they transition to other places or other companies, they have like the mindset that's in, I feel, in the right place. They've done very, very well. I mean, I'm very proud of the guys that have started in my alpha team. I mean, Devin Tate's one of them. Jose is another one. And, you know, they've done very well. They've gone on to graduate from ESI and from Select International and has spun off to find the specialties that they wanted to get into. So
very
that's
cool.
Another thing is that
very cool.
When they get into one spot, right? Like if one doesn't seem like he's more on the ground, he seems more like cyber nerd like. So I'm like, okay, then go to the best mentor for that. That's not my specialty, but I know somebody.
Sure. Right.
So I encourage the networking and then they can mentor into them. So they graduate. It's meant to kick them out, actually. It's meant for them to be in it and then grow. It's like kindergarten. Just keep going. And that's what I love about it. And that's how we change, because it's all about the power of one at the end of the day. And that's how we change this industry, I feel, is one person at a time.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, that's a great story. And I would have never have known that. I know, you know, you only share certain things. So I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm glad that our audience had the opportunity to listen to you explain that, because I don't think there's many people in the industry out there, you know, looking out for those that are just stepping into it. So I appreciate that. Listen, how about you let everyone know where they can get a hold of you as we start to wrap this up? If they want to contact you, if they need your services, and if they want to connect with you on LinkedIn or anywhere else, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, definitely social media. I'm on Facebook, so, you know, it's Laura Lee Thurman. You know, obviously know somebody like you, and then they could find me. You know, they could find me on Messenger. I am on LinkedIn under the same name. I'm also in Instagram. I don't go there too often, but I am listed there. But, you know, the best way to reach me is by via email. So L as in Lima, Thurman, like Uma Thurman, T-H-U-R-M-A-N, at V as in Victor, companies, plural, .co. That's the best way to reach out to me is via email. And, you know, I'm always responsive. I always love to help people, even just advice. I mean, the strategy that I had for Steel Raid is not just pertinent to that. There are colleagues that have reached out to me, I've consulted with. You know, they might just have a quick question like, hey, you know, what do you think of my resume? Or, you know, hey, you know, I'm starting my own business. Can you give me any tips on where I should start? And I'm more than happy to do that. So definitely reach out, and I'm always willing to help those, because I think that's the attitude you need to have in this industry. We have a long way to go, but you know, positive energy and positive mindset, I feel, will carry us through to a better generation.
Perfect. Well, a fantastic way to end the podcast. I appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Time again today, and hopefully we'll be in touch again soon. Thanks again for your time today.
Absolutely, Rob. Thank you so much, and it was so wonderful to reconnect with you, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be on this podcast. Thank you so much.
No problem. Take care. Bye. That was it for episode 61 of the Prepared X podcast. It's hard to believe we've had 61 episodes already. If you're enjoying these, if you've listened to more than one, this is your first one, we'd just love your feedback. Anywhere on the podcast outlets where you're listening to this, if it's iTunes or if it's the a Google podcast, wherever you're listening to this, if you can just leave a comment and rate us, we'd really appreciate that. We love the feedback. If you're listening via the website, again, write a comment. Let us know how you found us. And if you like these podcasts and what you want more of, less of, or everything in between, we appreciate any and all of your feedback. Thanks again for listening to episode 61. Have a great day.